Good evening. Good to have you out tonight. We're going to be in Psalms 39. Misspelled the title there, and I changed the title too. The title is Darkness. I mean, it titled Vanity of Life, but the reason David sees it is all in vain is because of the consciousness of his sins. Darkness has set in, and it's clouded how he views life. In verses 1 through 6, knowing we're transient is good. If you know you're really limited in the time you have on earth, you'll set priorities better. You'll think of more important things, and it ends up being a good thing. Verse 1, I said I'll guard my ways, that I may not sin with my tongue. I'll guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. He's got a plan. You know, and he's expressing that plan. And, you know, here's what I said to myself. I'm going to guard my ways. I'm going to watch that I don't sin with my tongue. And as he goes on, it'll be obvious what the problems are, but he's frustrated. He's under great pressure here. And especially when the wicked are in my presence. Like politics today, you know, any slip of what you say, people are jumping in and turning it, twisting it. He's guarding what he says because he doesn't need any more trouble in his life. And especially in the presence of the wicked, he's watching what he says. Verse 2, I was dumb and silent. I refrained even from good and my sorrow grew worse. He's going to hold it in, you know. He's going to be quiet. He's going to do nothing. Just going to sit here. And it might get better. I mean, it's so bad. But his sorrow got worse. So we're starting to get the feeling of where he's at. So he's dumb and silent. You know, I'm not going to say nothing. Not going to think nothing. I'm not even going to do good. I'm not going to compound my problem. But inwardly, the pain grows. That doesn't solve the problem. He got a plan. Verse 3. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. I mean, he can't hold it in. I mean, anger, frustration. It's just growing here. You know, and nothing he's doing is solving the problem. And so he's got to speak. But verse 4. He's going to talk to God. Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. It's too much for me. When's it going to end? You know, I know I'm not here for a long time, but how transient am I? I mean, where's this going to end? You know, lots of people go through pain, especially you get older, and you know, you wish for the Lord to come. You know, and come quickly because, well, he wants to know how many more days he's got. Verse 5. Well, you know, look at Psalm 78, 18. Psalm 78, verse 38, rather. And the Lord knows, you know, that we only have a short time on earth. I was reading Ecclesiastes chapter 10. It talked about the fleeting of youth in the days of your strength. And that's all true. I mean, you think kids, it takes them a while to grow up, to teenagers, but what? It's fleeting. It happens quick. And then in your strength, you get about 35, and what do you start noticing? Where was that at? I'm slowing down. You know. Well, 78, we're talking about out in the wilderness, verse 38. But he, God being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. And often he restrained his anger, and he did not arouse all his wrath. God's holding himself back. He's limiting himself here. I mean, they're out in the wilderness and they're provoking him all the time. And because he's compassionate, he's forgiven. Otherwise, he's going to destroy him. And so, you know, he restrained himself. He held himself back. He didn't arouse his anger. Verse 39, thus he remembered that they were but flesh. A wind that passes and does not return. That's all man is. I mean, it's here. We're talking about storms tonight and what? Tomorrow morning, you'll just have the after effects. They'll be gone. Well, that's man. God realizes that that's us. Look at Psalms 103, verse 12 through 14. God's very well aware of that. In chapter 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Boy, that's a good thing. I mean, as far as you can look out there on the horizon to the west or the east, that's how far their transgressions have been removed. They're not coming back soon. 13. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. And so the father gives the child a break. It's his child. So is God. You know, He has compassion. Verse 14. For He Himself knows our frame. He's mindful that we are but dust. We're limited. God knows that He created us from dust. And so He takes that into account. Otherwise, you know, it would be much more worse on us in life. So in Psalms 39, verse 5, Behold, Thou hast made my days as handbreadth, and my lifetime is nothing in Thy sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. At his best. You know, I mean, you breathe in the cold morning, what? You see it for a second, it's gone. He says, hand breath, the width of your hand. And that's all life is, and from God's viewpoint, 4.5 inches. It isn't much. And here we are on earth. Verse 6, surely every man walks about as a phantom, a ghost, just a mirage, shows up, gone. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. Man is out here making all this noise. Why? And you're going to accomplish great things. You're going to be gone shortly. What are you trying to do? What's it worth? You know. And then he says at the end of verse 6, He amasses riches and does not know who gathered them. Well, all them guys getting all those billions of dollars and what? Who knows? No, you don't know. You're not thinking, where is this going? Want to do something with it now? 2 Peter chapter 1 is the path to eternal life. And I mean, talking about not knowing is the point here. And if we apply to our faith moral excellence and knowledge and self-control, perseverance, godliness, worldly kindness, and love, we'll make it to heaven if you keep adding those qualities to your life. But right after that, 2 Peter 1:8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. By putting these attributes in your life, you come to know Jesus. Because that's who He is. Self-control, I mean, perseverance, putting up with, you know, Jesus. Love of God, brotherly kindness. Verse 9, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Boy, you don't see no need to add those qualities to your life. You've forgotten something. I mean, you're not thinking long-term here that you were baptized for a reason and it's to get you on the road to go to heaven. And so these qualities are going to make sure you get there. But if you've forgotten your former purification of sins, that you have no reason to move forward. And so forgetting things, you know, you just don't do anything. Don't think about it. And you make no progress. Verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. So adding these qualities to your life is guaranteed that you won't ever fall and not get up. You'll end up with your soul saved. Even more, verse 11. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. By adding those qualities to your life, by thinking ahead where this is all going, is that you'll add these qualities, and when you get there, the kingdom will be abundantly supplied. There will be more than the gate will be wide open. The Lord will know who you are. Well, David here in this psalm, you know, he's got a lot of darkness. In verse 7 through 11, he starts thinking about what matters most. verse 7. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in Thee. He's got a problem. He's got sorrow upon sorrow. He has no answers. But he still remembers God. God is his hope. He's got to wait on God. But he's got a bigger problem, and he's going to fess up to it. Verse 8. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Now we're down to the problem. You know, I need help. I can't solve my problem. So I need you to deliver me. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I mean, many people laughing at the righteous man. You know, if David ends up lost, oh, in hell, there's going to be some wonderful people taunting him. You know, verse 9, I have become dumb. I do not open my mouth because it is thou who has done it. Yeah, I'm trying to keep my mouth shut. I'm trying not to say something I shouldn't say to you because you have shut my mouth. Oh, darkness, realizing why he has problem upon problem here. Verse 10, remove thy plague from me. Because of the opposition of thy hand, I am perishing. God's got his hand on him. David's had experience with that before. Psalms 32, once he's forgiven of his sins with Bathsheba and Uriah, he remembers, that's what was happening then, it's happening now, and he's coming clean with it, and God's plague is on him. You know, he knows why it's happening. Verse 11, with reproofs thou dost chasten a man for iniquity. Thou dost consume a moth with as a moth what is precious to him. Surely every man is a mere breath. Boy, life's not long. And I got some transgression problems. And you know, he can see it's getting closer. But if everything was going smooth and he was doing what's right, what? He'd have peace and, oh, life's good. We wouldn't be worrying about the end coming so quick. But he's being chastened. He's being disciplined. Pain's being brought in his life because of iniquity. And he says in the middle of verse 11, thou dost consume a moth, as a moth, what is precious to him. You know, when God starts to put the pressure on you as Christians, he goes after what's precious to you. That will get your attention. If you don't want to listen, you don't want to try, and you keep pushing it, we'll go like a moth eating on your favorite fancy fur. I know we all don't have any, but yeah, and you find out it's got moth holes in it. It costs you dearly. Well, that's what he's saying God's doing to him. And so in verse 12 through 13, he's going to say, I need thee every hour. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears. For I'm a stranger with thee and a sojourner like all my fathers. He says, you know, I'm just wandering around in life aimlessly. No purpose, going nowhere, just like my fathers out in the wilderness. And I need you to hear my cry. I mean, look at my tears. You know, I want to get out of this. I want to do good. Verse 13, turn thy gaze away from me that I may smile again before I depart to them no more. Boy, let's solve this now. Listen, it all depends on God. He's being honest. He knows why the problems he has is in life. And boy, just turn your gaze. Remember my sins no more. In the New Testament, the promise in Hebrews 8:12, that I may smile again, that life is better and life is good. And so he's talking about vanity of life, and he's realizing how short life is, but the reason is because of his sinfulness. And then as he goes on, he starts dealing with God, and it's all in God's hands. And you know, David always was being pursued by enemies, but he lived to be a old man. God delivered him. He knew how to get out of his problems. And Saul of Tarsus said he was the chief of sinners because he tried to destroy the plan of God. And he was probably right. I mean, he wasn't a cannibal, he wasn't a mass murderer, but he deliberately tried to destroy the new plan of God for that would save people's lives eternally, and he was going to wipe it out. Now, God showed mercy to him because of ignorance. God's compassionate. God knows we're weak. If he just said, that's it, you know, none of us would be here, you know, there'd be no hope, no chances. But you see, David knows there's still a chance. Saul of Tarsus, you know, why did you delay? Rise to be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on my name. There's nothing said about his reaction. After 3 days and three nights of not praying, of praying and not eating, and that voice is ringing in his ears, and he's challenging him, why are you persecuting me? I mean, somebody up there rules. But they're merciful, they're compassionate, they're willing to forgive. Wow. Darkness is bad. You're looking at darkness here is the point. The consciousness of sinfulness as a religious person who's sincere and life gets real short and it begins to crush in on you. And boy, you wish you was out of it, but boy, that's not the right move. We need God to listen to you before I depart and am no more. Boy, that's the hope of the gospel. That God will be merciful to your sins. Faith in Jesus is worth a lot. Life gets better. Life seems to be longer. The first three things for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. That's what you get. You need to respond anyway once you come as we stand and sing.